If you are driven by your want, then you will be circumstance driven. Because circumstances affect us all the time, and they affect those things we want, don't they? If you want something and you don't have the money in your circumstances, that's going to affect you, right? We are circumstance driven at times, but we should not be. And thus we should not be driven by our desires.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the central message of today's broadcast is learning to be content. And contentment is something that most of us struggle with on a practical or even sometimes a day-to-day basis.
Well, you know, Dave, contentment, especially here in America, is something that is rarely achieved by those who would identify with the church. Now, whether it's for non-believers, make-believers, or true believers who are in sin, they all have one thing in common. Their ultimate goal is to make more, have better, have bigger. But as we're going to see today from our passage, that mindset is antithetical to what Scripture teaches about how to live the Christian life. So if you have your Bible handy, turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Folks, we are to rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice, right? But yet there are times when what we do will cause others to rejoice, and we need to think about that. Isn't it wonderful when people trust the Lord and do what is right and show love in the body of Christ? It brings joy. So he is rejoicing in the context of their concern blossoming for him. He's rejoicing in that. And then what a blessing it is to rejoice when we see what God does through his saints. Certainly we are to rejoice always, but what a blessing when others cause us to rejoice in the Lord, right? Wonderful thing. He knew that concern would be manifest. So let me ask you this. What is your giving like? Do you contribute to the needs of those who are doing God's work in the body of Christ? Do you continue to contribute to those needs from those you have personally interacted with and known personally who are faithfully serving the Lord and doing his work? Are you sharing and rejoicing in that? So often it is disconnected where people support people. They don't even know. They don't even know what's going on. Here in Scripture, we see the support is through people who knew one another. And they knew that the Lord was working through them. And so he says he rejoiced greatly in the Lord. Now at last, you have revived your concern for me. Now, he wants to qualify this because people always take things wrong, don't they? We always take things wrong. We can misconstrue a conversation. We can misconstrue a sentence. And quite possibly, he's concerned, inspired by the Spirit, that they might think, hey, I rejoice that you gave me all this cash. I'm doing well now, right? That's not his motive, right? He's going to say and qualify this, not that I speak from want. Notice what he says here. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now you have revived your concern for me. It's in terms of the gift they gave him, financial gift. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want. And we're going to see the first principle. Those who are content in Christ don't live in the context of want. Guess what? If you are living in the context of always wanting something, you're in trouble. We need to learn, as we will see, the secret of contentment. Not that I speak from want. A term could speak, say, even poverty or need. He's saying the context of being needy or wanting. Lest they misunderstand the Apostle Paul, that he's buttering them up for more cash or whatever it might be. He says his rejoicing is not based on want. It's not based on his desires. He says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned, he's going to explain, to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And notice, those who are truly content are not driven by their own desires. They are not driven by their wants. Paul was not thanking them for their gifts so he could get more. He wasn't driven by the desire of financial security or whatever it might be. He says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned, and we're going to see this, to be content in whatever circumstances I am. You see, if you are driven by your want, then you will be circumstance driven. because circumstances affect us all the time, and they affect those things we want, don't they? If you want something and you don't have the money in your circumstances, that's going to affect you, right? We are circumstance-driven at times, but we should not be. And thus, we should not be driven by our desires. Contrary to what the world preaches day in and day out, money or financial security will never, ever bring contentment. You think, if we just had this, will I be at peace? Well, no, it's not true. We're going to see the Apostle Paul learned the secret to, in whatever circumstance, to be content. So what we see, first of all, is those who are content in the Lord are not driven by want. But notice, we're going to see also that those who are content in the Lord have learned in the crucible of circumstance how to be content. Looking at our passage, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, and now he's going to explain, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and also I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Here in verse 11, he begins to explain what that word for. He says, for I have learned. I don't speak from want because I've learned something. I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And this is so important. It's interesting, he doesn't just say, I am content. He says, I have learned. Paul was a human being like you and I. He was a believer who had to mature in his faith. And he learned this. The term learned comes from the word monthano. Same word which speaks of a disciple, a learner, right? We saw it back in verse 9. The things you have learned from the scriptures, we know in context, received and heard in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. And now he says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Now, this word content is a very interesting word in Greek. It literally means, and it seems weird when I say it, so if he's learned to be this, but you have to get the context, it means self-sufficient. Okay, so wait a second. Self-sufficient, it came to speak of not needing anything externally outside of self. It came to speak of contentment or being satisfied, and it also carried the sense of a happy state of mind. Now, in the context of the world, that would speak of someone who is fully self-sufficient. They could do it on their own. They don't need anyone else. And they were fine with that. But that's not what's being spoken of here. The context here is of being content in the context of what Christ does within you. He says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to have nothing from the outside to make me have peace. I've learned that. In whatever circumstances I am. Now, folks, we all experience a variety of different circumstances as we walk through life, some good and some bad. We all have circumstances that surround our lives. They are, as Paul would say literally here, the circumstances of me. I've learned to be content in the circumstances of me. The question would be, have you learned to be content in the circumstances of you? He says, not that I speak from want, because or for, I have learned. I have learned this, and we're going to see there's a secret to it. True Christian contentment has to be learned, brothers and sisters. You learn it as God takes you through circumstances. As he takes you through the circumstances of you, he teaches you to apply the word to your heart that you would have peace in those circumstances because Christ is empowering you and you'll be able to do everything he calls you to do, which includes enduring through bad circumstances. You see, before we continue, we need to recognize circumstances, the ones we avoid so easily, are the venue in which we learn to have contentment in circumstances. It's the crucible in which God uses to teach us. You see, Scripture is really clear. We are to be content. And yet we need to take that word that we've learned and been taught and seen and apply it and accomplish it, but it is accomplished in the context of actual circumstances. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We have a very clear statement about how we should be content. And we need to obey that. But God uses circumstances to cause us to then go to the word to apply it to those circumstances, to obey it. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. He's kind of coming off the context of bad guys who actually see godliness as a mean of gains. They use, you know, godliness as a way to gain, in a sense, and gain in a wrong way. Those are the bad guys. But now Paul's going to say real godliness, in contrast, is actually a means of great gain. 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness actually, and that's speaking of real godliness, is a means of great gain when accompanied by what? Contentment. Our problem is we lack contentment and we need to learn it, you see? And how we learn it is by applying the word to our circumstances and trusting the Lord in those circumstances. He says here, it is a means of gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world. Did you ever see a baby born with like a wallet? No. We brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be what? Content. Now we're being told this, but we learn this by applying this in circumstances. We have to have the word in us when those circumstances come that we can apply that truth, and God gives us peace in the midst of those things. He says, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires. Remember, not that I speak from want, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. I think of a car on an icy road on a mountain. It plunges over the side. When you desire finances, you desire to be rich, it'll plunge you into ruin as a believer. He says here, and pierce themselves with many a pang. Lots of people, right? He says, but flee these things, you man of God. He's speaking to Timothy. Flee it. Flee this stuff. And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. God's word tells us if we have food or shelter, we should be content. And when I'm not content, I need to go back to God's word in the midst of those circumstances and learn to be content. What about Hebrews chapter 13? Turn to Hebrews 13 as you keep your fingers in Philippians. Hebrews 13. This is to believers. I'm never going to learn the secret of contentment if I don't have the word in my heart. If I'm not doing what was the verse before, which says the things you have learned, accomplish, right? I got to learn it to apply it in those circumstances. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your character be free from the love of money. What's a love? It's a desire. It's something that you value. You cherish from the love of money. And he says, being content with what you have. Now, you might take that at this point and think, I'll be content with how much money I have, right? Well, no, he explains. For he himself, speaking of God, has said, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you. Be content with what you have. You have the living God. And we see in Romans chapter 8 that we are to recognize in every circumstance that God is working everything for good. We are to be seeking first his kingdom rather than worrying about food and shelter, Matthew 6. And there are so many scriptures that reveal that we are to be content, but yet we learn that contentment in circumstances as we apply his truth in the context, as we will see, of a real relationship trusting in Jesus, who will do all things through us. So then, ultimately, we take the truth we have learned. God is good, working for our good, no matter what. He's taking care of us, that we're on our way to glory, that he's near. He will guard our hearts with his peace. We take that truth as we've learned and apply it to our circumstances. And as we will see, trust and rely on Christ completely. So then, as we continue, we see contentment is learned in the crucible of circumstances. Those very circumstances we so want to get out of at times. That's not wrong to pray about that. We're to pray about everything. But we need to recognize God uses them to teach us. And notice he expands. Look back at our passage in Philippians 4. He says, not that I speak of want, for I have learned, done deal. It's actually in a tense. That means he's learned a lesson, and it still affects him now. I learned a lesson. I learned it. He's matured, okay? Philippians 4. In verse 12, he says, We need to learn it too, brothers and sisters. To be content in whatever circumstances I am, I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, the things of me, that's what it is. In any and every things of me, the stuff that comes in my life. He says, I have learned a secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. He says, in whatever circumstances, in whatever things come upon me, whatever it is, he says, in any and every circumstance, he says he has learned. And what is the downfall at times in our Christian walk? Circumstances. We need to learn in every circumstance to be content, as we will see, to be thinking rightly, to be at peace in the context of what is happening within our relationship with Christ. So what was the context he was learning? It was in circumstances. Notice he says this, I know how to get along with humble means. It means he's been poor. I also know how to live in prosperity. It means he has been amply supplied. The term I know in Greek is in the perfect tense. I know, and that knowledge is already there, but it affects me now. And it's knowledge that comes through experience. I have learned through experience how to get along with nothing and how to get along with a lot. I've learned it. Humble means speaks of less, obviously. And humble means for us is probably wealth for them right now, how much stuff we have, right? See, contentment means, practically speaking, you will be able to get along with a little or with a lot. It doesn't matter what you have, you are content, you are at peace. You're okay because, as we will see, Christ is your sufficiency in any and every circumstance. Now, when you think of being poor, you think it's difficult to be content, right? Because you're in need, right? But you learn in Christ that he gives us the strength to empower us to get through anything he brings us through, any circumstance. Whether it's poverty or wealth, he will strengthen you. I've learned to trust him and know that he will get me through every time. I've learned to trust Jesus. Now, we all understand poverty. We understand the temptation to be not content in that, right? But guess what? There is a deep temptation also in abundance to be not content. There's a deep temptation to forget the Lord when we have what we need. And we need to learn contentment. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. You see, being wealthy can be just as tempting as being poor. And you got to learn in every circumstance, any and every, even the extremes. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, this is a warning to the Israelites as they're coming into the land, not to forget the Lord when things go well. Beware lest you forget the Lord, Deuteronomy 8:11, your God, by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and statutes, which I am commanding you today. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied, have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, that your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions, thirsty ground, and there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you might say in your heart, my power and my strength has made this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant with which he swore your fathers, as it is to this day. And it shall come if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. We need to remember that when we have an abundance, as we'll see, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He did it. He brought about what we have. And I guarantee even within our abundance that we have right now, you're probably not content at times. It's because it doesn't satisfy. It will not give you contentment. As much money as you can get, there's always the possibility it'll go away. There's always something more that you might want. The writer of Proverbs prays this, keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. There are temptations when we have a lot and a little. And Paul gives those extremes as an example. I've learned in these extremes, but also in any and every circumstance, I've learned to be content. And he goes on and explains a little more. He says in middle of verse 12, back in our passage, in every circumstance, I have learned a secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. Being filled speaks to eat to the full. Going hungry, we understand that. Having abundance means to abound in regards. It was translated even being rich. Suffering need means to fall short or to be late, to not reach something. I don't have what I need. I'm not reaching that point of what I need. Paul is saying through the circumstances, he has learned the secret of contentment, the secret of Christ's sufficiency in all things. Paul went through many tough circumstances and he learned from them. May we learn from ours. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul declares how he learned something. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of the affliction that came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the God who raises the dead. Circumstances training us to trust in Jesus Christ, who delivered us from so great a peril, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Now, on a side note, sadly, these principles are ignored at times through so many Christian missionary and ministry entreaties to the body of Christ for support. Paul didn't see the ministry as kaput when he was short of what he needed. He learned how to be content in everything, whether being fully supplied or undersupplied. He learned the secret of contentment.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today, The Secret of Contentment, is from his series in the book of Philippians. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or the entire series in Philippians are available by visiting our website as well. Now, as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available to you at no cost. This is made possible because of the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Now, Greg, in the moments that we have left in today's broadcast, we all need to have stuff to live. So how do we separate our needs from our wants in our pursuit of contentment?
You know, Dave, the process of determining between needs and wants is pretty subjective, but yet God in His Word makes it clear that we need not worry about the things He's promised to provide, such as food, shelter, and clothing. But in reality, we should be seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, and He will provide those things. Now, does this mean the Lord doesn't provide things for us to enjoy? Certainly He does. We see that in 1 Timothy 6. But we are commanded not to set our hope on those things, but in a God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. The bottom line is, if you desire anything more than you desire the Lord, you will not be content. And it's my hope today that the Word has shined light on where your heart is, and that if you need to confess to the Lord, you'll do that and you'll be restored, and then you'll be able to experience true joy in the context of contentment, when you are completely focused on serving Him, seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. As believers in Jesus Christ, our hope is not found in the things on earth, but in the sufficiency of Christ and His Word. Take some time today, evaluate your priorities, and be committed to focus on Christ and Him alone, and you will find the secret of contentment.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lunstead, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.